Dr. Hoffman here. This Intelligent Medicine podcast is brought to you by Super Beets. I personally take Super Beets when I need a power boost. It's my favorite product. Super Beets gives me energy and stamina for my busy day. Right now, get a one-month supply free with your first order. Check out the Dr. Hoffman special right now at IntelligentBeets.com. That's IntelligentBeets.com. Welcome to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and today we're going to talk about something very, very essential. You know, we talk about nutrition. Of course, nutrition is essential. We talk about exercise, moving your body. That's very, very essential. We even sometimes talk about sex, and of course, that's essential, a natural biological process. However, something that we've given short shrift to here on the Intelligent Medicine Podcast series is something that is really essential, which is breathing. Now, you're probably asking yourself, how can we devote an entire podcast to something as boring and self-evident as breathing? But nothing could be farther from the truth, because a lot of us suffer from breath-related conditions, and most of us aren't doing it right. We think we're part of our natural process that we breathe correctly, but so many societal imperatives militate against correct breathing. And we're going to talk to an advocate of correct breathing. She's Betsy Thomason. Betsy is a respiratory therapist, but she's also someone who's taken it beyond just ministering to patients in respiratory therapy. She's an advocate for a special breathing program that has brought relief and optimization to countless individuals. And so, without further ado, welcome, Betsy. By the way, Betsy is senior therapist at Millennium Respiratory Services in Whippany, New Jersey, and she also has a busy private practice, and we'll give you information about that in just a few moments. In addition, she's in the process of writing a book entitled Just Breathe Out, Developing a User-Friendly Body. And her system, the process that she's promoting is entitled The Breathe Out Dynamic System. So welcome, Betsy. It's a pleasure having you on Intelligent Medicine.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Okay, so, breathing. I mean, everybody takes it for granted. Are you here to tell us that we're doing it wrong?
No, actually, I'm not here to tell anyone they're doing anything wrong, just to entertain the idea that there's a different way of thinking about breathing that can create health. I call it an untapped natural resource, your very own breath, and it's something that is readily available. We just need to pay attention to the out-breath. We need to redefine breathing as the out-breath, active out-breath, passive in-breath.
Well, we tend to sort of think of breathing as inhale, exhale, sort of 50-50 proposition. Is that wrong?
Again, I hesitate to use the word wrong because it kind of puts
the onus on, right.
Yeah, it pushes people into a corner and they're defensive. So I encourage people to explore the difference. How does it feel when you, for instance, pretend you're blowing on a pinwheel? When you're anxious and you don't know what to do, instead of sucking air in and feeling helpless, blow on that imaginary pinwheel and see if you don't feel calmer, if the ideas don't flow to help you get out of whatever fix you may be in. So it's really about being open to a new mindset that says, I can fix something with my own breath. I can do this myself without drugs or surgery. I can explore how my body responds to things by using my out-breath.
So the system that you're talking about is the Breathe Out Dynamic System. It's something, right. You've coined that term. Well, tell us about that.
Well, I, let me start with the word dynamic. Dynamic refers to change. Change is important for all of us, whether it's in the microcosm or in the big picture. Everything changes, and your breathing needs to change to, depending on what you're doing at the moment. If you're sitting compared to walking, if you're running compared to walking, if you're stressed compared to being relaxed, breathing changes, and that's a good thing. In the breathe out dynamic system gives you, the user, the opportunity to make those changes without being directed that you must breathe out to a count of XYZ or in breath for 5 seconds or whatever. You get to design it yourself. You are the choreographer of your own actions.
Well, isn't this akin to meditation, where breath control and abdominal breathing are very, very important part of achieving a relaxed state?
Absolutely. In meditation, the way I define meditation is a focus on this moment. So it doesn't matter whether you're sitting or walking, you can be meditating while walking, as well as this tradition we know of
cross-legged position, lotus position, so on.
Yeah, in my younger days, I couldn't ever meditate because I couldn't sit still long enough. When I learned the breathe-out dynamic system and realized I could coordinate it with my walking, then I was truly paying attention to what's going on in this very moment, because I could support my body movement with out-breath.
Well, I think another term for that is mindfulness.
Yes,
and
exactly.
I think it was there was a correspondent who was my mindfulness is escaping me, but Edison Cooper was on I think it was CBS 60 Minutes talking about the mindfulness movement, and you know, the notion that we don't necessarily have to adopt traditional meditation practices. That mindfulness means being in the moment. And freeing yourself of distractions. But, of course, the way to anchor yourself, because it's a fundamental physiologic process that you can control and modulate to some extent, is your breathing.
Absolutely. And in this age, when we're moving far faster than we ever moved before, paying attention to the moment is super important. And we're not only moving fast, we're, as you said, distracted by cell phones and all the electronic devices. So paying attention to your breath helps you to slow down without having to figure it out too much. It's a basic process. And I've thought about this thing about moving fast, and I came up with a notion that President Eisenhower got us started on this road to high speed when he developed the interstate highway system in the 1950s.
Interesting. Yeah, a lot of people take that for granted, but baby boomers, we actually remember when our parents packed us into that the Buick or the Pontiac, and we took the road trip, and it was exciting because we got to the brand new, spanking new highways. Now we take those for granted, but it used to be to go from one end of the country to the other, you'd have to traverse crazy dirt roads and gravel roads, and it wasn't interconnected the way it is now.
And you may have been traveling at 30 miles an hour, but not 60. So for several generations now, we have been traveling through space for many hours every day at high speed, because our car is going at high speed, so therefore we are moving at high speed. And I think that this has really affected our inner being more than we can imagine. And so slowing down is hugely important, because the human body and mind just, we can't really deal with it well.
Well, in some ways, we're transporting ourselves at light speed when we sit down to do our social media, to tweet our friends, because you don't have to physically move, but you're jumping from one thing to another, and the attention span of people is vanishingly small. And I wonder to what extent people sometimes hold their breath or engage in very shallow breathing while they're excitedly tracing through their messages?
Well, you know, most people, I have this habit of counting breaths when I'm like on a bus and I have nothing to do. So I will watch someone breathe, and I have come to the conclusion in 10 years of taking the bus from New Jersey to New York that most people are breathing over 20 times a minute.
And so breathing fast, that's the problem. You should be engaged in deep, full breaths rather than these little shallow excursions.
Chest breaths, yes. And so oxygen never gets a chance to enter the bloodstream. And we take for granted this low function because it's all we know.
Mm-hmm.
But there is higher function when you start to focus on using your belly for the out-breath and letting the in-breath be passive. And that's a revolutionary idea, that you don't have to help the air in.
You don't have to gulp the air.
You don't have to do actually anything except release your belly. And nature's vacuum takes care of the rest. Everything that you pushed out comes back in automatically, because that's the way the universe works. If you squeeze a container, whether it's an orange juice container or your body, and then you suddenly expand it, it gets filled up with whatever gas or liquid is readily available. That's the way the universe works.
So that's a comforting notion. You don't have to gulp or gasp for air. Mm-hmm. That the air is there, and it just wants to get inside you if you'll only relax and let it do that.
Yes, and then you have to trust that this is what happens, and this is a huge leap of faith for most people.
Well, you know, we sometimes hear, and you know, I actually see this in some of my patients who describe a symptom that I can only call air hunger. They actually say, I'm breathless, and you know, and I'll go and I'll do like an informal breathing test, and I'll say, you know, your breathing test checks out normally. Your lungs aren't damaged. You don't have emphysema. You don't have asthma. You don't have pulmonary fibrosis. But you still perceive, you subjectively, they perceive that they're not getting a full breath excursion. So what, say that is a person who's coming to your practice in New Jersey. How would you start out with them?
Well, actually, the way I start out with everyone, which is, I'm not really too concerned about your diagnosis, or I'm interested in the issues.
And you see all kinds of, obviously, patients with severe respiratory problems, asthmatics, patients with, you know, who are on oxygen, you know, these types of patients that traditionally go to respiratory therapists, but also just general patients.
Yeah, I run workshops in my community where just the average person who's heard something about the effectiveness of breathing comes, and they're your average person who's in pretty good health, but maybe they have chest pressure, and it's not a heart attack or a heart issue because they've been to the emergency room already. And what it is air stacking without ever exhaling fully, and so your chest fills up with air. We know that air creates pressure because we experience that in our universe, and in the universe of our body, we can experience that too, because we just never dumped the old used air out. And so there's no room for new air, and there's no place for the new air to get down deep into the lungs to mix with the blood.
I think they sometimes refer to it as tidal volume. You know, it's like the tides coming in and out. But, you know, if sort of a shallow excursion, then it's as if the detritus that's on the shoreline doesn't ever get cleared out.
That's true. That's true. Yes. Yes, indeed. So air hunger, breathlessness, it's all resolved by developing belly muscles and using them to help your diaphragm. We cannot move our diaphragm. We can wiggle our fingers, but we cannot wiggle our diaphragm, but we can influence it with our belly muscles. And strong belly muscles promote back health. So this, here we are expanding the notion of healthy breathing, but it's the concept is basic: active out breath passive in-breath, but when you start to practice it, it becomes more complex because we're creatures of habit. I encourage people not to think about undoing their style of normal breathing, but to think of doing something new. It's easier to learn something new than it is to undo something you've been doing for your entire life.
Well, so might you have a patient sit up or perhaps lie down on a table, place their hand strategically on their chest and their stomach, and then become aware of the movements?
No, actually, what I do is get them connected to their belly by using pictures of what I want their muscles to do. Rather than telling them to, you know, suck in your belly muscles, I'll say, think of your belly as a bellows. And for some younger people, I have to explain what a bellows is.
Right.
But we talk about the fireplace bellows and what its job is and how it works and how the air comes back in. And that's a metaphor for our own body. Because if we squeeze our bellows, which is our belly, and we're going to be pushing air out, and then if we release our belly muscles, we create more space. The diaphragm, the most important muscle of respiration, has room to drop down and pull the lungs, expand the lungs downward. And the lungs fill with as much air as you breathe out. It's quite phenomenal. And so we practice this quietly. And then I ask for feedback. Usually I often teach in groups. I find it very effective because people learn from one another. And we share our experiences of how it feels to breathe this way for 5 minutes, their first 5 minutes doing BODS. And it's interesting. I can get someone to do this in 30 seconds by holding up my index finger and saying, pretend that this is your pinwheel. Now, make the pinwheel spin as long as you can comfortably. I don't want you to run out of breath, but just comfortably. And when you can no longer breathe out, pause. And in that pause, that brief pause, the air will come back in and then continue to keep the pinwheel spinning. When I look at them doing this, I notice that their belly is going in. I have said nothing to them about doing anything about their belly when they're blowing out. And I've said nothing to them about relaxing their belly to let the air in. It happens. It's so amazing. So that's another way I teach it quickly.
Do you think that women are, in this culture, at a particular disadvantage when it comes to breathing because they wear tight, constrictive clothing, in the past girdles, now Spanx, and they're encouraged to suck their belly in and not to relax their abdominal muscles lest they appear like their stomach is pouching out? Are we creating a whole generation of bad breathers?
Interesting about women, yes. Certainly women don't want to, although that's changing too. But what's interesting about men is they may not have the restrictive clothing, but many of them have been or are in the military.
Mm-hmm.
And in the military, you get taught to stand up straight and suck in your gut.
Right.
And that, if you do that for a lifetime, if you do that for a day, you are going to have dysfunction. Now, my grandmother taught me this. My German grandmother taught it to me.
Right.
And in my early 20s...
Strict Teutonic upraising.
Yes. And in my early 20s, I had huge low back problems because I had removed the curve from my low back from doing this, from standing up straight and sucking in my guts. My belly was always contracted.
Men may also have a recollection of getting socked in the stomach. A little less so women, but maybe that memory tends to get them to tighten their abdominal muscles when they're tense.
Yeah. And then too, sometimes we parents will say to our kids when they fall or they hurt themselves, oh, honey, don't cry, it's okay, and they sniffle up their tears. You know, we teach them that breathing is the in-breath. When really, if we could get them to blow on their pinwheel, they'd have less pain. They'd manage the stress of the hurt that they're experiencing.
Well, that's actually one of the principles of Lamaze breathing. Is, you know, that's a very extraordinarily painful process, but you're taught to breathe out,
right,
you know.
Exactly. And coordinate it with contractions.
Mm-hmm.
When the muscles are working hard, you want to be focused on your out-breath.
Mm-hmm.
It's enormously energizing. And in the process of writing my book, Just Breathe Out, I was thinking about the diaphragm and how it works. And even as a respiratory student 20 years ago, I had a hard time understanding how the diaphragm functions. And in 20 years later in writing this book, I envision the diaphragm as a muscle that, first of all, it's a circular-shaped muscle that's under your ribs and above your stomach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I have it quite frequently as skirt steak.
Exactly.
That's what it is.
Exactly.
It's that that gristly muscle that, you know, makes a really great, you know, you marinate it and it's a great barbecue.
Yeah, one of my patients was a butcher, and I always talk about anatomy with people because they need to understand how the body works. And he's the one who informed me about skirt steak.
Right.
And it's a beautiful thing. It's a circle. It's has rays like sun,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's very powerful. And so I was looking at my hand, my relaxed hand one day, and I thought, you know what? When the diaphragm is relaxed, it's a dome shape, and it's high in the abdominal cavity. And I thought, that's what my hand looks like when it's relaxed. And so that's for your out-breath. So when you're squeezing your belly muscles for the out-breath, your diaphragm is being pushed by your guts up into your diaphragm, which is, you're accentuating the dome-ness of the diaphragm, which is a good thing because it's relaxed, but you're pushing up against the lungs, squeezing the air out. When you pause, that brief pause, when you're just relaxed, doing nothing, your diaphragm drops down. It flattens out, so your hand would then flatten out. That's when it's doing its major work of expanding the lungs, but you are totally relaxed. You're not sucking air in. And that's very counterproductive anyway, because when people suck in, they lift up their shoulders, and shoulders are not attached to lungs. So
mm-hmm.
you're not expanding your lungs, you're wasting energy.
Hmm.
So the breathe-out dynamic system really is about saving energy in so many ways.
Well, that's quite an interesting introduction. This is a logical point at which we can pause because we divide our podcast into two parts. But when we return with today's guest, she's Betsy Thomason. She's a respiratory therapist, but she's also a passionate advocate for breathing in the true sense. She is author of a book that's about to come out. We'll tell you about it. We'll tell you about her practice momentarily. And when we return, we'll talk about specific conditions, anxiety, asthma, respiratory disease, even the applications of this to athletic performance. And a unique study that Betsy, today's guest, undertook with firefighters using respiratory equipment. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. And this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. We'll be right back.